Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, what am I supposed to do in here?
Just push the button.
Dog. This button right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Got a little confused because all week we've been doing mailbag. Then I figured on mailbag we should be doing but we're not. We're doing the mailbag again, which means we need you to send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org. And don't forget the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Walker. He texted in and wanted to know, what's a good way to read the Bible? How should I read during my morning Bible reading? A chapter at a time, a devotional? Yes.
I wish you hadn't concluded with the options, because I was just going to say, well, if it's in English, left to right. If it's Hebrew, right to left. Next question. You should read the Bible the way you need to read the Bible. I'm not trying to skirt the question. I'm saying that the Bible should be read to feed us, not just to read it. That's why I think so many people, they tend to run out of gas. Well, I've been reading the Bible and, you know, it's just not as exciting as it used to be. Well, you know, I kind of read it and I don't really get much out of it. Read it for how you need it. Hey, that's a meme right there.
Just tweeted it.
Read it the way you need it. In other words, you're searching for a wife. Go read all the Bible verses that talk about godly women. Okay, because you need that, right? If you're a woman and you're looking for a godly man, go read the verses that describe what a godly man is like, how he is supposed to treat his wife. And that way you're reading it because it's feeding you. And I think that will keep you in the game more. There's another way to do that. Let's say you're dealing with anger. That's your kind of your fuse is short and you wrestle with it. Go read all the Bible verses on the subject of anger. And then go read all of the Bible verses that help you get control of your anger. Go read all the Bible verses on the tongue. In other words, read it the way you need it. I think that's you know, that could be like purpose-driven life trademark business right there. 877-282-2337.
Speaking of marriage, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how long...
You know what? May I just interrupt myself again? Which was actually you. But you and I, Jimmy, we're so close. I'm not saying we're like married close, but odd couple close.
Very odd.
There's a question that Mike, he's been leading our Sunday school at alpharettabiblechurch.org. He's been teaching the theology of David through the Psalms, a man after God's own heart. Well, what did he think about God? Excellent. And he's been doing such a good job of coaching us and asking the question you've probably heard before. When you read the Bible, ask the text some questions. This is another way to read it in a way that will feed you, as opposed to just, you're just skimming over the surface. You're reading it and, you know, you get a little here, a little there. No, go slower and ask it some questions. Interrogate your Bible. Questions like, what does that say about God? Ask it. What does that say about God? Okay, wait a second. What does that say about me? What does this verse teach me about me? That's engaging your brain. That's gets closer to meditating on the Bible. So don't just read it. Dive into it. swim in it, ask it some questions, and you'll find yourself being more engaged in it. And as far as how much you should read, the answer to that is, yeah, well, how much do you want to read it? How much do you desire to be in God's Word? Knowing that feeding your soul is the most important activity of the day. That is something that we do well to settle in our souls, isn't it? That the most important thing we can do this day is to feed our own soul. Jesus didn't say, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but his kids are naughty? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he doesn't get a promotion? No. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? In other words, your soul is the most precious thing you have. I don't even know that that's right. You are your soul. So your soul and a body, we're dualistic beings. That thing is precious. What would you take in exchange for your very soul? And the answer is nothing. That's like the best thing that I got. Then feed it. Feed it. And if you're saying, well, I'm struggling to read it. It's just hard today. That's pretty common human experience. Read it, knowing that it's the best thing you can do. This is like being on an airplane and there's turbulence. By the way, we started watching that. Is it called Lost? We were trying to see if there was something that we could watch that wasn't like blasphemous and dirty. Lost. There's a plane crash.
Oh, yeah.
And the people are on an island apparently for like six seasons. And I think we watched a bit of the first episode. And you watch it if you want to. I'm just saying, I just thought, wait a second. They're going to be on this island for like 6 years. So why don't we just go watch the last one at the end of the 6 years? Because all of it's just like one escapade after another. They're stuck on the island. That's the premise of the show. So we finished that season in about 15 minutes. But they did show the plane crash. Whew, that was scary business. All of a sudden, they're tootling along in the air. That's what planes do. They tootle along. For those of you who have never taken any sort of pilot classes, which is what those are called too, you're tootling along and all of a sudden the thing just lost altitude. And one of the guys who didn't have his seatbelt firmly fastened and have his chair in the upright and locked position, he just hit the ceiling of the plane. Bang! The thing drops and then the air mass dropped down. Can you imagine anybody in that moment of terror going, I don't feel like putting on an air mask. It's just, you know, I don't get much out of it. Put it on. And the same thing is true with reading your Bible. It is your soul's oxygen mask. You need to do it because it's the best thing that you can do for yourself. And now if Jimmy won't interrupt me again, we'll get back to wherever you interrupted me.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how long would you say a man should be clean from pornography before considering marriage?
Don't have a Bible verse, so it would be an issue of wisdom. And I think you should talk to your elders about it because I do believe that there can be some, I think there should be some probing. Because, for instance, maybe you haven't looked at porn for a year. How's your thought life? Oh, that we got to do that next week. We got to play that Gifford episode, part of that stuff on porn that he did on Transform. Wow. Because your mind could just be a cesspool. Okay, you're not looking at porn anymore, which is good. But what's your fantasy life? How are you doing when you're looking at women? Those are things that need to be brought out, too. So it's not just not looking at porn. If you're pornographic in your brain without looking at it on your phone, you've still got an issue. You should be timed out from considering marriage. You're just not qualified. You have to be a man who has his members under control. Otherwise, you should not put a woman through what you're going to put her through. Because marriage ain't going to fix your porn problem. Never does. It just doesn't, because it's an issue of the heart. So I would say talk to your elders, and if a man has cleaned up his viewing habits and his heart is under, he's got it under control, the thought pops in and he just kills it, He sees a sight and he turns his eyes to not put his eyes on a young woman. Okay, if I were then sitting in that elder chair, this is just me because I don't have a Bible verse to support it, at least a year. And if right now you're, I don't know, 17, you're looking at porn and you heard that and you went, a year? That's going to like stall things for me. Yep. Then stop it now. Start acting like a godly man now. It should sideline you because you are playing with fire. Did you think you wouldn't get burned? Did you think there would be no consequences? This is why I believe a man, if the young man hopefully comes to talk to dad before proposing to the young lady, this is one of the first questions that I think should be asked. Tell me about porn. When was the last time? Would you open up your phone right now and show me your viewing? Can you show a viewing history on the phone?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Show me your viewing history. I know you can do that on the computer. It's crucial because if a young man does not have himself under control, he is going to drag that precious young lady through the mud. So kill it now, dude. And listen to Adam Tyson's Way of Manhood. He'll help you with that. FortisPlus.org. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Like a story I heard about on the radio the other day. This woman worked a job for a tech company previously, and she stopped working at some point to be a mother. Years later, realized that the stock options they gave her were worth millions. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Crotts.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Thank you, Dr. Crotts. And at Fortis Institute, listen, we're standing strong in a world that's losing its way. Our name means strong in Latin, and that's our promise to you. Visit FortisInstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Crotts, and then join us in standing firm no matter the cost, because in a world that's falling apart, we're building something strong. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do I stand corrected? This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, wretched material to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337. You say you got a Bible verse that tells a young man who's been looking at porn how long he has to wait before he shouldn't even date for a year.
Right.
I mean, that's an arbitrary number because I said there isn't a Bible verse. You say there is. Well, I can't wait.
There's not a Bible verse that gives a time frame, but the one that kept coming into my mind was Ephesians 4:22. Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, and put on the new self. And I think that takes time, not only to put off the porn, the watching of the pornography and the harmful behaviors, but to actually replace it with something godly and to put
that's
on.
That's another reason the elders should be involved.
Right.
That's a great point. The interrogation should involve not just have you stopped, when was the last time? Now let's talk about how you've been treating women. Are you now honoring them? Are you doing things to serve them? Are you doing things to lift them up? Because those are that's the sign of a man who has moved from just putting off, that's important, to also putting on. And I stick with this. If you're a young man who has been looking at pornography, you should not be dating. You do not do that to that young woman. Do not do that to her. You stop dating now. You tell her that for personal, if you do not want to come clean, you tell her for personal reasons, you do not deserve to be dating a man like me. And so we have to end this relationship because I'm not a man who's worthy of you. I'm not kidding. Do not do that to some precious daughter, to some young lady who's striving to be godly, who wants a husband who has integrity on the inside as well as the outside. It's interesting, Jimmy, you were reading another email. The young lady who's so desperate and desiring of a husband. I hear that so often. There are so many young people, and it's men and women. It's a strange phenomenon. I don't know that I've got like a handle on it in my brain, at least. You've got so many young women going, where are the godly young men? You got the godly young men going, where are the godly women? It just might be because the social structures are broken. I don't know. But there are good, godly young people who desire marriage. They want a good thing. And it's so heartbreaking that it's so hard these days. I know some of these young people. I just don't get it. I wonder if at least a part of it, I think there's many layers to it, but I wonder if a part of it is that the understanding of marriage perhaps is more of an idealized version, more of a Hollywood version, more of a social media version than it is a Christian ideal for marriage. Because we should be reading, for instance, Proverbs 31. You're nowhere in Proverbs 31. In fact, just the opposite. You read Proverbs 31 and it describes the ideal wife. And it talks about her ability to work hard. She gets up early. She makes the home lovely. She goes out and buys a field. This is a woman who isn't scared of things. And then it says something very interesting at the very end. Proverbs 31, which I'll be honest with you. I have it memorized, but I just wanted to read it out of the New King James Version, which is, okay, the virtuous wife, who can find one? And it talks about she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Oh man, that's the thing. This is the stuff of life right there. Children that rise up and call mom blessed. And her husband praises her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Dude, Did you find a woman who fears the Lord? You found yourself wife material.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, I was kind of hoping for a blonde to look.
You got your priorities out of whack. Now, let me just say very quickly, I get looks. I understand that. It's not that it's not a part of marriage, but it is nowhere near the top of the list. It's not even close. There's just nothing in the Bible that says you found a good wife when you found a smoking hot wife, like all of the youth pastors apparently are married to. Find somebody who's godly. The intimacy stuff, it will take care of itself when your souls are being knit together. I wonder if a part of it is that the thinking that marriage has to be just this buzzy, heady, trippy, oh man, she's just beautiful. She just knocks me out, man. I know. I don't know why I made the woman sound like she's got a deeper voice. And he is so handsome. Okay, that's nice. Go ahead, find me the Bible verses that extol good looks. Go ahead, because I just did that study for a chapter in the book that is really getting past due for the editor. The point is, the Bible does talk about some people who are good looking, but it just comments. It makes the comment they're good looking. For instance, Saul was a handsome man, and that's why the people picked him. But what does God look on? Not the outward, the inner man. That is what he desires. So you will see some Bible verses, maybe 7 to 9 of them, that identify some people as being good looking. But typically in the context, it's that it turns out to be a bad thing. How's about Absalom? Apparently Absalom, this guy was a dude. It describes him in just very effusive terms. He's like the most handsome man. You're like the strongest guy in the block. The worst son maybe in the history of sons. So who cares what he looked like? That is not what God extols. These low things that we think are so important. I'm not going to say they're irrelevant, although you could make the case they are. But you got to be looking for better things. You got to be looking for higher things. You got to be looking for the things that make a marriage great. Because I'll tell you what, you marry yourself a beauty queen who's just doesn't have any of these attributes that are described in Proverbs 31, you're going to have kids if she'll let you have kids because she doesn't want to ruin her body. And those kids, they're not going to rise up and call her blessed. You want that. It's a funny thing. It's kind of an interesting thing. Most of the time, my daughters call my wife. Most of the time. Or they'll text more with her than with me. They tend to engage me on certain things and her on just a lot of stuff. And I'm totally fine with that. You know why? Because they love their mom. And I love watching that. I love it. And sometimes they'll just want to go out to lunch with their mother. Am I offended? Just the opposite. Because you know what I'm seeing? They're rising up to call her blessed. And that's profound. That is worth more. Maybe it sounds weird to you. If you haven't been married and you don't have kids, it sounds weird. It's like, wait a second. It makes you happy that they just want to go out with her? It thrills me. And if you said, okay, well, put a price tag on. If I could write you a check for real that would make you feel better than watching your daughters treat your wife like that, you don't have enough zeros. Seriously, you don't have enough zeros. That's the stuff you're looking for. This is the stuff of life. You're a young lady, you find a godly young man, but kind of bugs you because he's frumpy. Okay, you can help him with frumpy. Some of the arbitrary markers that disqualify a young man and a young woman from getting married. Okay, to a point, I get it. Height issues, I get it to a point. But should it? Should it? I know somebody. She must be about 5'11". She's married to a man who's 5'5". She wouldn't give him up for nothing, and neither would he. Because it's their marriage isn't built on whether or not one of them needs to wear lifts or high heels. Those are the, I understand. It's not the stuff of marriage. Look for the big things. Look for the deep things. Look for the godly things. And you got yourself a contender. In fact, personality, that's probably even more important to like a heavier weight than looks, because you got to deal with personality all the time. I get it. You weigh that. That's still not the big stuff. The big stuff is described and defined for you in the Bible. This is Wretched Radio.